going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
I'm going to share a story here, and we're going to get a guy by the name of Roger Pelkey on the line. But before I do that, I want to share the beginning of his column. He was a tenured professor at the University of Colorado Boulder, and he's a climate scientist. And the lesson that we're going to learn from Roger here in a moment is, man, you could be even on the far left, and you can still get canceled if you do not fall in line with everything that the whack jobs, I would say, want you to say on any particular issue. I mean, some of this is happening with the trans issue right now, but this is how Roger began his piece, and currently he is not a professor, and he's going to explain all of this. He will share his story about what happened to him. He's a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, and I don't often read the columns from the guests, but I do want to, you know, start this interview with his column, because he says this: who is the only person to appear in both the hacked 2009 ClimateGate emails and the stolen 2016 Hillary Clinton WikiLeaks emails? That would be me, Roger Pelkey says. Both cases exposed efforts to censor my research and damage my career at the University of Colorado Boulder. And in each case, I thought, thank goodness for tenure and academic freedom. These days, I have less confidence in academic freedom. In December, at age 56, I left the University of Colorado after 24 years as a tenured professor, spending much of that time focused on climate change. In the 10 years before my departure, I was investigated, bullied, and shunned to the point where leaving the university, once unthinkable, became inevitable. He says, Colorado shut the Science Policy Center that I started, led, canceled the graduate classes that I developed. It moved me to a tiny office that was actually a storage room, and then commandeered the space to store boxes and empty filing cabinets. Later, it moved me to an office in the football stadium that was inaccessible for months. Finally, it refused to place me in any department, so I had no classes to teach. This is a stunning story. Roger Pelkey's on the line with us this afternoon. Roger, thank you so much for joining us on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I want to start this just because you're on a conservative radio station, conservative talk show, but you make it very clear that this is interesting. You even wrote, you seem like an unlikely candidate for cancellation because you're a pretty big critic of Donald Trump. You voted for Hillary, for Joe Biden, and for Kamala Harris. We can have discussions about that at another time, but that's maybe what makes this situation even more unique and more strange, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty much a centrist, you know, center right some days, center left some other days. But in academia, you know, being a centrist is, akin to being far right. So that's kind of the root of what lies behind my story.
So where do we start here? This kind of happens in February 2015, where things change. You want to kind of go back to that spot and just share the story from there?
Yeah, I'm pretty well known for my work in climate science and policy, and I have the privilege to be able to testify before the U.S. Congress from time to time. And I gave some testimony that went viral, basically repeating mainstream science that hurricanes haven't increased, tornadoes haven't increased, floods haven't increased, despite, you know, what you read in the media. But in 2015, a member of Congress announced that he was investigating me, a Democrat from New Mexico, alleging that I had been taking money under the table from ExxonMobil in exchange for my testimony. And that really turned things upside down for me on my campus at the University of Colorado.
So how do you think, because obviously, and I've had folks on my show over the years who are, you know, and I would even describe myself as a lukewarmer. You're not denying that the climate changes. You're just kind of approaching the science in an accurate way, and you're not trying to spin everything towards climate alarmism or apocalyptic, you know, scenarios. And I've had other guests like Dr. Roy Spencer and others come on here, and the first thing that everyone says is, well, you're in the pockets of the oil companies, right?
Right. That's it usually descends from talking about the science and the data into personal attacks and who's funding who. Very quickly on this topic.
So when this happens after they make those allegations, you're under investigation. What happens at the University of Colorado?
So the University of Colorado went through with the investigation. There was a few other faculty at other universities across the country who also had a request to be investigated. And at the time, some university presidents said, you know, bug off. Our faculty have academic freedom. We're not going to investigate them. My university did, and you know, it was no surprise I came out publicly. There was no under-the-table money. My views are my views. I've been doing this for a long time. And, you know, I really think the congressman announced the investigation so he could get his headline in the New York Times and really didn't follow through much after that. But my university went through it. But the big change, you know, really wasn't the investigation. It was just the tenor that I was received with at my university that changed.
So, you know, how do you even begin to describe what that felt like? Because you're just trying to do what you've always done, and all of a sudden you have pressure that eventually, as you wrote in this piece a couple of weeks ago, just completely pushed you away, pushed you out.
Yeah, so at universities we have academic tenure. That means you can't be fired for things you write or do. But it doesn't mean that administrators can't make your life difficult, if not miserable. So, for example, my office was commandeered and used for storage. I couldn't use it. Wasn't provided a phone or a computer. My class teaching assignments were changed every semester. And, you know, no raises. and just general difficulties working on campus. And for me, you know, it was a cost-benefit exercise that, you know, I'm not complaining. I've landed great. But it's, at some point, it was easier just to leave than to stay. And that was the result of decision-making by administrators.
Yeah, and I appreciate the fact that you're not, you know, trying to make yourself a victim here. But I think it's important. And when I hear you tell a story like that, when I read this piece, I always recommend this movie called The Lives of Others. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. This is the kind of stuff that sounds like East Germany. That's what it sounds like. It doesn't sound like America. It doesn't sound like at a university on an American campus, what happened to you.
I think that's a good analogy. I was the subject of a couple, you know, propped up investigations. I put those in quote because they were kind of meaningless. And it is true that administrators on college campuses can make life difficult for faculty members. We're supposed to have academic freedom, which means that we can write and say what we believe. We can call balls and strikes. And without that, the university isn't the university. I'm a big fan of universities. I just wish they would work.
Well, but how, I'd like to be a big fan too, but I'm concerned about where they are. And I've shared this story with my audience a couple of times, and I'll kind of make it brief here in the synopsis form because I think it kind of crosses over into your themes. I was given some audio from a listener the day after the election. It was a journalism class at the University of Missouri, documentary film class. I went to the University of Missouri. I was a bachelor of journalism in 1986 and kind of lost track with the university. But when this was shared with me, it was just jarring what I heard from this professor. And the dad that ended up sharing it with me panicked because of his own son, didn't want his son to have retaliation. I completely understand that as a father. But what I did as a parallel path is I reached out to the dean of the J School at Mizzou. His name is David Kirpius. I didn't know David. I reached out and said, look, you might want to hear this audio because it's pretty jarring. And now, look, I'm not naive. I know that college professors are pretty left-wing and they're pretty radical. But even what I heard in this audio, and I had promised not to share it, so I still haven't shared it with the audience was really kind of stunning. So I start this dialogue with the J school dean, and he invites me up for a basketball game, and we now have a little bit of a relationship. But he was very stern with me at one point, because when we were having a discussion about what this professor did, he said to me, "Well, that's been dealt with. That won't happen again." And I didn't want to have a, you know, we were going to a basketball game that night. I didn't want a bunch of tension. But what I really wanted to say is, okay, maybe you had that talk, but I know this for sure. It's happened before that day. And I know it's happened a lot. And this had nothing to do with journalism and nothing to do with it was just things like, you know, capitalism is idiotic, stuff like it was unbelievable. I think if most people in Missouri would hear a professor at the state university say some of these things, not to mention profanity and stuff, I think they would be shocked, which is one of the reasons I wanted to expose this. But I think that what that represented, and you wrote about this in your piece, is that, you know, you don't have any conservative faculty to push back and say, hey, wait a second here. Maybe there's another perspective, right? And that's a big concern, certainly of mine. And I think parents need to be aware of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I do think you're onto something. And it's more than just the political leanings of the faculty, which has moved more and more to the left over, you know, a period of like 50 years. It's the use of the institution and the institution's authority to pursue policy and political gains, as if the university is a non-governmental organization, an activist group. I can tell you, my courses, I taught in an environmental studies program. I'm a policy professor. My courses were enormously popular with the students. They really liked them, and that's probably one of my reasons for my downfall. In my classes, I would try to bring in all perspectives. You know, people that are called climate deniers, Republicans, Democrats, people who want to do degrowth. And my goal was to expose the students to a wide range of opinions.
Right.
And I can tell you that was not always popular on my campus. Why are you platforming this person or that person? I get it. You know, part of contemporary politics is to try to get people not to listen to people on the other side, whatever that happens to be. But universities are the last places where that should take place. I always told my students, you know, my job is not to tell you what to think. My job is to teach you how to think. And I'm a strong believer that some ways of thinking are better than others in the sense that they lead you to more reliable conclusions. But what my students choose to value or who they vote for, you know, I told them, you know, I apologize. I could care less. That's their business
number. Right, absolutely. Now, on the climate change front, let me ask this question. I'm assuming, do you know who, you know Robert Mueller from Berkeley, by any chance?
Yes.
Okay, so Robert Mueller was a guest on my show. This goes back a long time ago. In fact, I'm looking at the audio in my file right now. It was 2014. And the reason he was on my show, and he was a guy who was questioning, you know, how much man-made climate change was real. He decided, and I don't know where he is these days, that we were contributing quite a bit. But we and you know, Roger, we just experienced, I don't know if you saw, those terrible tornadoes here in the St. Louis area last Friday. We had some more storms last night. But I think this was in the aftermath maybe of what happened in Joplin, if I match up the dates here. And he had a piece that was in the New York Times that was called The Truth About Tornadoes, right? And you might have read it at the time, but here's what he told me. This always kind of jumped out to me. This is what he told me 10, 12 years ago. Can we stem the time?
Suggestions to do something about it will not work, partly because they're completely focused on the United States.
Yeah.
If the United States were to disappear tomorrow, no more greenhouse gases, the world emissions would be back where they were in 4 years, simply from the growth of China.
That's the kind of thing that, you know, I remember that. It stuck out, but that doesn't get repeated. Now, I don't know if his math is completely on right now with where we are with emissions, but how would you react to even that? Because here we are, and we, you know, you see big, bad hurricanes, climate change gets blamed. You get a terrible winter like we had here in St. Louis, climate change. The tornadoes, climate change. So what is your reaction to that?
Yeah, so at a very basic level, we are adding energy to the climate system, and it is getting warmer. And that's kind of, you know, climate science 101.
Right.
That's not particularly controversial. Extreme events, things get really complicated really fast. It's true that heat waves have increased. So has extreme rainfall. But flooding has not. Tornadoes, as much a chance that they've gone down in the United States as up. And hurricanes, similar, drought, similar. There's no strong trends. But the fact that we're altering the system means that we're creating some uncertainties and risks for the future. And all else equal, we'd probably like to not have those risks. And so that takes us to energy policy. And it turns out there are some pretty smart, pragmatic, politically centrist approaches to energy policy that would have the effect of reducing emissions. I'll just name one, coal. I know the Trump administration, loves big, beautiful coal, but the decline of coal in the United States and most of the world, except for China and India, we could talk about that, has been a decades-long process. We have the technologies. Natural gas, which the U.S. is the world leader in, is one. Nuclear power, which is seeing a renaissance in many places. Just getting off of coal is a big win. It's a win for the U.S. economy, and it's a win for the climate. Last week, there was just reports that, according to official Chinese data, which take it with a grain of salt, China's seeing a turn down in its coal emissions for the first time. So there's reason for optimism out there on energy and climate. Later this week, the Trump administration is going to release a couple of executive orders on nuclear power. So a lot of people worry about, how do we get that last ton of carbon dioxide out of our economic activity? I'm more worried about the direction of travel. People want cheap energy. They want reliable energy. They want the U.S. to be secure. Every other country wants the same thing. So let's focus on direction of travel and the first steps rather than what things look like in 2050 or 2100, which is far beyond our policy and political timescales.
Do you have a particular opinion? I really haven't even talked about this because I was overseas when it happened. My first day that I was in Greece on vacation a couple of weeks ago was the power outage in Spain. And, I read a couple of pieces about that. Do you have any opinion? Because they had just kind of declared all this energy dependency, and then, boom, the lights go out.
Yeah, there are competing theories out there involving spikes in voltage and a loss of what's called inertia. But we'll have to wait and see what the investigations come up with. But what we do know is that the world's going to need tremendously more energy going forward. The United States, too, with the growth of AI and data centers and so on. And we're going to need to transform the physical infrastructure of the production of energy. At the same time, as we saw in Spain, we need to keep the lights on. And we don't need to just keep them on most of the time. People expect, and rightly so, that when you flip that switch, we're going to have the juice. So figuring out how to evolve, the grid, which is, one of the largest, most complicated machines humans have ever invented, it's a big deal. And often, people will say, particularly on the left, that energy policy is a subset of climate policy. Climate is the big issue. Climate's important. Climate change is real. But it is a subset of energy policy. Energy does a lot more for us than concerns about climate change. Energy is what provides us security, and energy is the economy. So my thinking very much is that as events like what we saw in Spain and what we saw in Texas in the winter storm a few years ago cause massive disruption and even loss of life, you're going to see citizens and democracies demanding a smarter, more pragmatic approaches to energy policy.
You know, when you wrote this piece that I read, and thank you so much for this conversation this afternoon. I've really enjoyed it, and I think the audience has as well. You're rather optimistic, and I think I even heard some optimism at the beginning where you said, I expect that at Colorado, the fever of climate advocacy will break at some point, and science-backed views such as mine might again be welcome. Boy, I'm a glass half-empty guy, Roger, if we're being honest here. But man, because I just see what's happening with too many of these professors, and then your story is not alone. You know this. There's other people who've been kind of blown out of their universities because of alternative views. I don't know how I can stay optimistic that these discussions will, move forward in a way that's helpful for not only the students, but for society.
So the United States has something like 4,000 post-high school institutions. That includes college and universities, community colleges, and so on. The issues that we're talking about are really involving Ivy League, state flagship universities, something like 100 universities, which admittedly do most of the research and development in this country. But for most people in most places, you go to a university, a college, a community college, to get training that's going to allow you to increase your economic prospects going forward. And that's not going to change. And the U.S. has the strongest higher education system anywhere in the world. I do think that many leaders of universities, Johns Hopkins, Auburn, Texas Tech, and a few others, are aware of what needs to happen at their campuses. And I do think that the pendulum has probably swung way too far in the other direction with the Trump folks taking sledgehammers to universities. But I do think there's awareness that, that these institutions need to do better. They need to do better by their students, need to do better by their faculty. It's going to take a while for change to happen, but we need universities. I mean, this is the 21st century, and we need the best and the brightest working on the most advanced science, technology, research, not just for energy policy, but for all sorts of things. So I am optimistic we're going to sort it out. I just hope it's doesn't take too long.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And thank you. Listen, sincerely, thank you so much for taking some time. I thought this was an awesome conversation. I thought it was important for people to hear. So I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. And all best to all of folks impacted by the severe weather. That's no fun.
Thank you very much. Take care, Roger.
All right. Bye-bye.
And, you know, on that front, there are some new very emotional comments from the mayor of St. Louis that we'll get to in the audio cut of the day coming up.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The mayor of St. Louis, Kara Spencer, got very, very emotional today speaking about the storms. And then we are trying to address some more questions about why the sirens didn't go off. I'm going to feature that in our audio cut of the day segment, which is coming up here in just a little bit. But before that, Tyler O'Neill is with us, not the baseball player, different Tyler O'Neill. He's the senior editor at the Daily Signal. And we're going to talk about what the left calls book banning, which is not really book banning. An interesting case from Colorado, actually. Tyler, welcome to 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, doing well. Good to be here. How are you?
I'm okay. Thanks for doing this. This is always a, unfortunately, a constant theme on the show. We've had some local school districts, obviously, that have been in the news. This is a case that the ACLU got involved with. And where do we start? You want to give the background of this case?
Yeah. So this is a very interesting case because we've been seeing across the country these books that activists push in schools. These are, You know, they're often sexually explicit. They involve themes that push gender ideology, the idea that a man can become a woman and vice versa. And, you know, they often also include, in the name of being inclusive, they have, you know, various sections that either explicitly describe sex acts, or they actually have pictures of the acts in question. And, you know, many of those who support these books claim that, you know, people who disagree with them are bigoted or just hate people. But in reality, the concerns are often that, you know, kids aren't mature enough to deal with these subjects, and that these subjects are not fitting for school libraries. And so what happened in Colorado, you know, this Elizabeth School District, and, you know, one of the members of the school board was told about a book that raised a lot of concerns, and he looked into it, and then he realized that this was a general problem. And so the school board issued, you know, they created a committee to deal with this. They worked with parents and other members of the community to figure out which books pose problems. And after going through a process like this, they decided to restrict the books and then remove some of the books that were causing a lot of concerns. The ACLU and a few, well, the ACLU is representing people. This is a very weird case because they found plaintiffs. Now, they found a few. They took two students, and one of these students is so young.
Yeah.
That she's not, I think she's in preschool, and she's not in any of the schools that where the libraries are challenged. And then the other one is a teenage girl who had never checked out any of the books. And then there's an organization, an NAACP chapter, that said that they were going to, you know, that their community members who remain unnamed have kids in the school who want access to the books. And so this, you know, the ACLU is representing these people, bringing this lawsuit, and the judge who, you know, this is Judge Charlotte Sweeney, who is touted as the first LGBTQ plus IA, whatever, you know, judge
right
west of the Mississippi. When she was confirmed by Biden, she issued an order that essentially says, you know, that these books can't be removed. You know, and this was a situation during the litigation. The school district said, well, why don't we have an evidentiary hearing so we can show you these books so you can understand our concerns. And they sat for depositions under oath statements saying that they believe these books are not fit for children, not appropriate for their ages. She essentially dismisses all of that, says she won't go for the evidentiary hearing, and instead finds a few statements that the ACLU had highlighted about these school board members talking about conservative values, and says that removing the books violated the Constitution because they were acting on their conservative
right
values, and their conservative values are impermissibly partisan. So this is, I mean, the problems with this are manifold.
Well, yeah,
but I'll stop there.
Well, let me point one thing out. A couple of things that jump out to me, and I want to make sure the audience understands that. Yeah, there was a preschooler. So one of the plaintiffs is a high schooler. One of them is, I guess, identified as a preschooler. But when you mention the pictures, this is always my favorite part of this, because I've criticized our legacy media. When our local paper, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, talks about these books, they never put, these are graphic novels. I have a 10-year-old daughter. I see these books, not necessarily the ones we're talking about, but I know these picture books, right? It is well within the scope of a newspaper or a website to put slides up in the context of a story, like the Daily Signal would, and show you exactly what these pictures are in these books. But it's always curious to me that the print journalists out there, they never never do that. They write the story. They claim there's book banning. They, you know, make all the allegations against the conservatives. And then if you just do a little hunting around, you can see what the graphic novel's pictures are. And then most people, I think this is be one of those 80-20 issues. They say, oh, yeah, that's not a conservative value issue. That's not appropriate. That is not age appropriate. Right.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, these are extremely basic. And the weird thing about it is, I think the reason why news outlets don't usually include the pictures, I mean, part of it is these are salacious pictures.
Yeah, they
and
are.
There was a time when, and I mean, I think you still can be removed from the airwaves for putting certain things out there that are really salacious. And, you know, this is one of the problems is you get these frustrated parents who go to these school board meetings and they hold up the picture in the school board meeting because they need to demonstrate the point and because otherwise it doesn't get out there.
Yeah.
And so school board members need to know, you know, and over again, the bias is such that they won't acknowledge the actual, you know, the actual content of these images that are clearly over the line. They'll just say over and over again, oh, these books tend to be written by Black and LGBTQ plus authors. And, you know, by saying that, groups like PEN America make it seem like there's this animus, this bias against minority groups that's driving the decision to remove these books. When in reality, it's all just a basic thing that if you have eyes to see and you look at one of these books, you'll say,
right.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't belong in a school library.
Well, and you mentioned, yeah, you mentioned the school board meetings. We've all seen the videos. I've played the audios time and time again where a parent goes up there and says, hey, guys, this is what we're trying to point out. And then the school board president shuts them down because it's too embarrassing to have the content read. That's what is the ultimate irony of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and that's the thing. It's like a catch-22 because it is so obviously beyond the pale that they want these books to be included in school libraries that you can't air them on television stations. Like,
yeah.
That's how bad these pictures are. And so, you know, it's the fact that we're arguing about this is itself a problem, and it's also evidence of just how much control the left has over these legacy media outlets, over so many engines of our popular culture, that we have to be arguing. Because the funny thing here is when the judge is ruling against these conservative values aren't partisan conservative values. And conservative can mean a lot of things. Like, it is technically a conservative value to say that you don't want kids exposed to something that's going to ruin their innocence. That's conservative, but that's also, like, broad spectrum.
Sure.
Like, I don't think, and there are groups like Gays Against Groomers, for example, that constantly say, like, we don't want kids to be exposed to this stuff because it is bad and it's not age appropriate. And there's nothing inherently partisan conservative about this.
Well, on the age appropriateness, the other thing that I like to bring up in others, look, you're not allowing a kid in preschool or elementary school or maybe even in high school to have unfettered access to the internet where they can pull up pornography or things along those lines, right? So how is the book different? Now, when the court says, and this judge says, the court viewed any decision motivated by conservative values, that's in quotes, as unacceptable and partisan, because she says the problem with the court's analysis is those conservative values could be assigned to any book removal decision. So, well, that's fine, but you didn't even hear Judge Ellis any of the information. You wouldn't vet the information. You wouldn't look at the pictures. So how can you have an informed decision about what's appropriate in the classroom or in a school library or not?
Yeah. Well, and that is one of the really egregious aspects of this is that, you know, the judge says, I'm not going to hold a hearing, which means that you can't, you know, you don't have the opportunity to present the evidence of these books. And so they're already starting on the back foot, and the judge is clearly, I mean, thankfully, this case has been appealed to the circuit court. The circuit court is looking at it. They refused to issue an injunction blocking the lower court injunction because when the judge made her ruling, she issued an injunction saying these books have to be put back on the shelves. And naturally, the school board said, no, that's absurd, and they appealed it. But, you know, when they appealed it to the district court had to take an extra step in order to block the injunction. So they refused to block the injunction, but they're still taking up the case. So hopefully, you know, this case could set a very important precedent, because what goes in a school library is arguably, you know, government speech. And I don't think there's that much disagreement among Americans who would think, oh yeah, if you have a book that's in a school library, like, it stands to reason that the government should be, you know, the school board should be held accountable for what is in that library,
yeah,
whether it's good or bad. But this judge is saying, essentially dismissing that argument entirely and saying that these decisions have to be, you know, that these decisions can't be made based on conservative values, based on, you know, the values that these people got elected to the school board on. There are just so many things wrong with this, and I think it's important that this case get its hearing, that it's moving. I'm glad that the appeals court is considering it, and I really hope that that's an important positive precedent.
Yeah, well, I mean, eventually, and I don't know what the exact path would be here, but one of these cases is going to have to end up before the Supreme Court, doesn't it?
Yeah, most likely. You never know what will or won't, but when you have... So the way something gets to the Supreme Court is through a circuit split. It's where courts of appeals differ on an issue, and then the Supreme Court has to weigh in, because the Supreme Court has to make it clear for courts across the country what actually stands.
Yeah.
So we're seeing a few of these cases move. It all depends on what's going to happen in these court battles. These things can take years. But I do think it is a ripe issue for the Supreme Court to address.
Tyler O'Neill, senior editor at the Daily Signal. Great stuff. I appreciate you coming on here on 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis. Thank you, Tyler.
Thanks again for having me.
We still have audio cut of the day coming up, and a very emotional Kara Spencer reacting to the storm. Still some questions about why the button wasn't pressed last Friday on the sirens. That's coming up.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world,
DSW is there.
And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I like this song. It's by a guy by the name of Michigander. I think he's coming to Del Mar Hall, and the name of the song is I'll Be Okay. It speaks volumes to my life situation right now, being candid, and just some mental health challenges that I've gone public with. And I put something on Facebook last week. And Sue, we haven't even talked about this, and it's hard to talk about. I lost my dog, Duke, last week, too.
I am so sorry, Mark.
It's hard to even talk about. But you know what? A lot of people are going through a lot worse, and I realize that. And a lot of it's related to this storm. So let's get to this here.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, let me not belabor the point here on the person who was supposed to press the button, because Kara Spencer held a news conference yesterday. She was on KMOX today as well. Let me just play the clip from KMOX on what happened. They didn't have the person who was supposed to, you know, press the button.
We have done a pretty thorough investigation on our end as far as what we can know. And I'll say this, there was a human failure. We will no longer have that system by the end, I believe, of this year.
Now they're handing it over to the fire department. So we'll kind of get past that. But I have to play you what happened today, because she got very emotional.
The damage is so extensive. People have been so gracious to bring me into their homes, and there aren't words. Whole entire sides, fronts, backs, tops of homes are missing. People have wrapped their personal belongings in saran wrap, tarps. It is unbelievable what people are going through right now. There are no words to describe the feeling of hopelessness that people are. We are doing our best to bring resources as needed. We know we are simultaneously doing a Herculaneum effort and not doing nearly enough. It's not possible to address all the needs in our community. And all I can say is that I'm so grateful for the community, what we're pulling together, what we have pulled together, and what we will continue and need to pull together in the coming days, weeks ahead. The need is absolutely astronomical, and we're grateful for the generosity that's coming out of the woodworks to step up. It is needed. Make no mistake about it. The destruction, 8 miles just in the city, touching down. That is very, very unusual behavior for a tornado. This was a heavily populated area. These are people's homes. This is everything they own. Open to the elements, and you cannot overstate the destruction, the damage that was done by this tornado.
Well, I like what I heard from Kara Spencer there. She sounds like she's a leader. It's tough for a lot of people right now, and a lot of people are going through tough times. I'm going through my own tough times, and this song represents maybe a lot of folks here in St. Louis. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.